This is the Pitrician Academy Cricket Show, number 116. Hi, you're listening to the Pitchvision Academy Cricket Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com. You can email us on
mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com.
And you can call us on
0208 816 7691.
I'm David Hinchliffe.
And I'm Richard Welch.
So when he was last seen, Berners was heading for the border with a suspicious-looking sack and a unregistered firearm. So we've had to, at the last minute, step in with a special guest, and that's the boss, Richard Welch. How are you doing, Richard?
Hi, David. Thanks for having me on board. And for legal reasons, we have to send Berners overseas at regular intervals. But that's his personal business, really. But thank you for having me, and I do feel I've got very big shoes to fill.
And of course you have. And I also have a strange feeling that I have to be on my best behaviour this week. I'm trying to steer the conversation away from footy, but somehow I feel like it's going to come up again.
Well, yeah, the last few shows I noticed that Berners has made a few pot shots at my football team, and this is a good opportunity for me to redress the balance.
Well, do you want to get it out of the way now? This is supposed to be a cricket show, but what's the story?
Well, a small historical fact is that Australian football was actually invented by a cricketer who wanted a sport to keep cricketers fit in winter. That's how it was invented. But I will also add that the Richmond Tigers did comprehensively defeat the Essendon Bombers a couple of weeks ago, which is Berners' team.
Funny enough, I was having a quick look at Andrew Strauss's book in the week, his one about winning the Ashes, and he was saying how incredibly large the dressing rooms are at the MCG because of Australian rules. They warm up in the dressing room.
Yeah, they have a mini pitch field laid out on the carpet, if you like, and they do all sorts of drills and warm-ups in there. And, of course, the teams have 22 players per team as well, so that's a lot of bodies to accommodate.
That's a bit different from the dressing rooms you and I are used to, where there's not even enough room to put in about three or four bags.
That's right. And it's very political who gets the seats and who doesn't. But
When I first broke into the first team in my club, I spent the season moving seats and then somebody coming in after, because I'm always first in the dressing room because I haven't got a place in the first team. And wherever I used to sit, someone would come in and go, "You've taken my seat." Every week.
Well, you tell me, David. I mean, what's the protocol here? Because if you walk into a dressing room and maybe it's half full and half the guys have put their bags on the seats and there's no seats free because of that, are you allowed to just take their bags and put them on the floor so that you can have a seat? I mean, what's the protocol there? What's the limits?
There's no space there at all.
Well, because there seems to be a modern phenomenon that guys put their kit bag on the seat next to them.
Yeah, that's right.
Rather than on the floor in front of them. But if that's occupying all the seats, well, surely the seats are there for players, not for bags.
Ah, interesting point. Well, my argument would be if you're not there first, then you don't get the choice.
Oh, I see. the individual rules, huh?
Exactly.
So much for the team spirit.
It's bums that keep seats, as they say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, maybe you could move a bag and say, "Well, I'm sitting here." It is a seat.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Skip. Sorry, Skip. Can I get a bowl this afternoon?
Yeah, you might want to carefully select who you choose to do that. We had an amazing occurrence this weekend. Actually, the rain stayed off, and we got a full game in, and we did manage to win, which is a great comeback from last week's.
I heard about last week's debacle. Yes,
but I had the most incredible injury I've ever seen. The poor chap is now out for the rest of the season, and he's very injury prone. He used to be a rugby player, and his knees have gone, so he stands in the slips and just smashes the ball from number four. That's the two things that he does. But he was so he was standing at first. Fantastic slip catcher, best slip catcher I've ever seen up close. And the guy gets wrapped on the pads, so we all go up, you know, the cordon all goes up, and as he jumps up in the air, and as he lands, he snaps his Achilles tendon.
Oh!
He said he felt like he'd been shot, because he just collapsed on the floor.
So would it have been a slightly strangled appeal from him then, going up a couple of octaves?
Yeah, well, the appeal was enormous while he was in the air, and then when he landed, he just collapsed. What are you doing, Gav? Why are you lying on the floor? He said, "Oh, it's gone. My ankle's gone."
Retired hurt, appealing.
I've never seen anybody be out for a season after an appeal. No, you didn't get hit by a ball or stretch for a single.
But that's what people don't understand. You know, cricket's a dangerous sport, and appealing is a skill like any other. And obviously, this guy is just taking it a little bit too far.
He's gone out of his comfort zone.
How do you return from an appealing injury? What sort of rehab do you need? Do you have to sort of watch a few plum LBWs and not appeal at all or something until your strength has returned?
Oh yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, you have to sort of watch some videos
and stay quiet.
Gradually build it up.
Right, you know, lackadaisically raise one hand at appeals, and then work up to a two-handed appeal, then work up to the spin around and face the umpire appeal, and then work to a running towards the umpire appeal or something like that.
I did see another. Well, I didn't see another injury, but I heard of another strange injury at my club. So maybe it's something to do with the water around here. The then captain of the second 11 walked up to a bowler to set the field carefully. Set the field, turned to walk back to first slip, and his cruciate ligament snapped.
Oh.
he didn't even get his. I said, "Well, you must have got your spikes caught in the turf or something." He said, "No, I just turned my foot. When it landed, I went over." So maybe it's something about that pitch.
Yeah, I think because you wouldn't really call either of those injuries like high impact injuries, would you? There's something going wrong between the head and the feet down your way.
Definitely, yeah. So, yeah, be careful when you're setting the field this weekend. That's all I can say. Speaking of setting the field, we do have on the show our adopted club captain, Craig Wright of Watsonian Cricket Club. So we're going to be interviewing him in a few moments and chatting through how the season's going so far, and also coming up, we've got a couple of questions for you to listen to, and we are giving away a prize, which is a online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy. So have a listen to that, and listen all the way to the end, because you can find out how you can win a prize yourself.
Let's do it.
Joined on the line now by Watsonian captain Craig Wright, and as you know, Watsonian are our adopted club for the 2011 British summer. How's it going, Craig?
It's going okay. Yeah, the weather's just heating up a little bit now, which has been good. It's been pretty cold and windy the last few weeks, but we haven't had any games called off, so it hasn't been that bad. But it's just been a little bit chilly, but it's getting a bit warmer now.
Spring weather can be a bit up and down, can't it, at the best of times. So how has May gone for you? You've got the first month of the season out of the way. How would you review the season so far?
Yeah, I mean, we've won three out of the five games that we've played so far. So probably, not quite pass marks, I would say, in terms of our ambition to be, you know, challenging at the top of the league. We wouldn't have hoped to lose two games up until this point in the season. But, you know, we've shown in patches what we're capable of. There's certainly some areas that we need to improve on. A little bit more consistency with the ball. And just one or two more of our top-order batters making significant contributions. But as I say, we've shown in flashes what we're capable of. And, if we string a few results together and show our potential a little bit more than we have done, then the rest of the season should be pretty good for us, I think.
There's a lot of talk around in the professional game about that word momentum. What when you think of momentum, does it mean anything to you, or is it a buzzword?
No. I believe strongly in that. And last season, we were probably in a similar position at this stage last year. We lost, I think, two games in May. And then we went on a run. I think we won eight or nine games in a row. And we certainly, you know, developed a real feeling of momentum. And, you know, we were playing consistent good cricket. And, you know, we got ourselves from probably a similar position where we are in the middle of the table at the moment to a position where I think we were top actually going into the last month of the season. So, mm-hmm. you know, we've shown that we can do that before, and that's what, you know, what we'll be aiming for from now on.
So how do you get momentum if you haven't got it, and how do you keep it going once it is rolling?
Well, I think I believe strongly in cricket being a pretty simple game, and I think, you know, I may have said to you before that what we need to do as a team to just be more consistent and churn out more consistent results and performances is just do the basics a bit better, and that's certainly what we've maybe fallen short on in probably all of the games that we've played so far this season, even the games that we've won. You know, our bowling certainly hasn't been quite as consistent in terms of bowling in our areas and our good lines and lengths and creating that control with the ball over the majority of the 50 overs as we would like. And as I say, you know, we've probably not had the contributions from some of the top order batsmen that we would expect given the abilities that we've got in our top six. So two really simple areas really for us to pick up on, and you know, we've talked about it and we've done some good practice and whatever. It's really just a case of guys getting on the park and showing the skills that they're capable of.
Form can be quite a tricky thing sometimes, can't it? You can have a bad start to a season or an average start to the season, and then you think to yourself, oh, I'm out of form, and it can sort of start becoming self-fulfilling. So if you've got a batsman or a bowler, but I mean, if we're talking specifically about batsmen making better contributions, if you've got a batsman who's in a bit of a slump, what can you do as captain to help them get back into form?
I think it's just about reminding people that they're good players. You know, I mean, we've got several good players in our team, and you know, any top order batsman goes through a period in any season that they don't score as many runs as they would like to. But I think, you know, it's as much a mental challenge as it is a technical challenge. If there's, you know, major technical deficiencies, then we might talk a little bit about that. But for me, the majority of it comes from you know, being strong mentally and reminding yourself when you're not doing as well as you would like that you are a good player, and remembering, you know, good performances and that type of thing. So you know, that's what we've been speaking about, and you know, trying to get the guys to you know to just remember those good performances and you know, get them into a mental position whereby they can go onto the field and express those abilities.
Okay, so it's the early part of June. You've got your first game in June coming up. So mid-season is really starting now that the summer is really starting to arrive. So what's your main goals for the team for the next few weeks?
I think it's just a case of just sort of total cliche, but just sort of taking each game as it comes. You know, we've got a big weekend that's coming up this weekend. We play Forfarshire, who are up the top of the league, I think, unbeaten, and we also play the first round of the Scottish Cup, which is the main cup competition. You know, so that's a big weekend for us this weekend, and you know, if we can turn into good performances and move on from there, and you know, as I said earlier, it's really just a case of ticking each game off and getting a win and then getting another win and then just, you know, moving through the season and hopefully having enough points on the board, if you like, to be challenging at the right end of the league competition and progressing through the cup competitions. So, you know, rather than, you know, setting any longer term goals, I think it's very much just a case of trying to play as good cricket as you can each week and then seeing where that takes you as the season goes on.
Craig Wright, well, Sonny and Captain, thank you very much.
Cheers.
time now for the question section on the show. And don't forget that you can win a prize, which is a online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy, batting, bowling, fielding, captaincy, all kinds of things on there. So, Richard, you've picked a couple of likely questions from the mailbag. What's the first one you've got this week?
OK, so reaching into the mailbag here, I've got we've got one from the USA. Adil has written in and he says he plays club cricket in Chicago and he's played in LA and he's having to deal with a change of surface in Chicago. All their surfaces are cement based and he says he's at average height. He's always loved to play on the front foot, but his problem in Chicago is the bowlers bowl pretty short and the ball is always reaching him at chest height. So this is a guy who likes being on the front foot, but the ball's coming through to him at chest height. So if the ball is outside off stumps, he says he can easily smash that, as that's one of his strongest areas. Yeah. However, three times in this current series, he has been out when the ball is coming to him on middle or towards leg stump. He doesn't say how he gets out, and therein lies his problem. Over to you, Coach.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's nice to hear from someone in the USA. I know there is a thriving cricket scene over there, so it's good to get in touch with someone who's playing out there and enjoying it and facing the same problems similar problems to what people face everywhere else in the world. Playing on fast and bouncy pitches is always difficult if you are not quite there, and it sounds like from what he said, from the clues of what he said, that technically he is more about hitting through the offside, which usually means he tends to get closed off, which in other words is because he's looking to play on the offside so much, he's shifting his body position, so he's not lined up correctly with the ball when it's either straight or going down the leg side. So what he ends up doing is having to play around himself, and then he can't hit it. So he probably gets all tucked up with a pull shot, or you know, if it's a drive, a back foot drive, he can't get around his front pad, and he ends up spooning it up in the air.
Is this sort of someone effectively falling over as they play, as the ball comes to them, they're falling over to the offside?
Falling over is another way to describe it. I mean, if you're playing back, then it's a bit more difficult to actually fall over. But it's that kind of principle of heading towards the offside when the ball is either straight or on leg stump. So the way to get around that is to get someone to give you some throwdowns and learn how to keep yourself open when the ball is straight. And you're going to be doing that on the back foot mostly. So focus on the back foot. And it's kind of like a three-step process to doing it. And you don't have to have lots of fancy equipment. You don't have to have a bowling machine and nets and loads of stuff like that. You can do it with a tennis ball and a little bit of room. You start in the position where you want to finish in. So if you imagine you're halfway through a shot, so you have your back foot back in the correct position for where you would be if you are facing a ball that's on middle stump. You get somebody to underarm the ball to you or do it on the bounce if you like. It doesn't really matter. And then you play the shot, the required shot, whatever it is, the back foot drive or the pull shot. And then you learn how to get your head and your feet in and your hands working together from that fixed or set position. Then you move to a halfway house. So you've got your back foot back, but you've still got your weight on your front foot. So you're leaning forwards, you're leaning all the way forwards, but your back foot's back. So if you imagine you're playing a back foot drive from your normal stance, your first movement would be back and across to get into position to play that back foot drive or the pull shot for that matter. But you're starting from there. So you start from where your back foot is and then you shift your weight back and then play the shot. That's the second progression of that. And then when you can do that effectively, you go back to your stance and start doing it from your stance. And that way you're building up the muscle memory that you need to get your technique right, which will build up your confidence. The other element, the other part of that, which you probably want to think about, is that you need to be quite patient if the bowling is like that, because you're not going to get a lot of balls, especially if it's coming up, you know, throat, chest area. you're not going to get a lot of balls that you can score from very easily, because it's not easy to score from that kind of delivery. So what you want to look at, I mean, don't know what kind of game you're playing. I mean, if you're playing 20-20, that's going to be difficult. But if you're playing a longer format game, you're playing 40 or 50 over matches, then you want to think about having patience and waiting for the bad ball to come, because all bowlers bowl bad balls, and whatever level you're playing, they're bound to give you a loose delivery. They're bound to pitch one up in the end, or they're bound to bowl a long hop, which isn't quite in the right area, and you can take advantage of it. So have patience would be my other piece of advice, and learn how to bat with patience.
Dave, one thing I'd ask him, and I'll ask you as well, if he's having trouble taking a very short ball that's heading down to the leg side or heading to leg stump, is part of his general problem then just an overall lack of foot movement anyway to get inside that ball, to get into a pull shot position? Because it sounds like you could play a cut shot off an outside off stump ball without moving your feet too much, because you're almost in your stance in a close to the right position. But it sounds like he may be not just moving his feet at all to get his body into the right position, let alone the transfer of weight or technique. He's just a bit stationary in the crease.
It's a possibility. The answer to that is kind of yes and no. If that is the case, then footwork is an important part of a very important part of batting, but it can also be a red herring, because people tend to think about their feet then instead of thinking about their overall position. And the way to think about your overall position is how your head aligns with the ball, not necessarily what you're doing with your feet. Because if you get your head in the right place,
yeah,
9 times out of 10 your feet are in the right place.
Yeah.
So yes, it is about footwork, but when you're coaching someone and when you're saying to somebody, we've got to get your technique more correct, then you're probably going to be saying more to them, okay, where was your head in that shot? You've gone way too, for example, you've gone way too far to the offside, or you've stayed on the leg side of it because you haven't moved your feet. So try and get your head in the right place. And that's the kind of cue. I mean, it's different for everybody, but that is more the kind of cue. You're thinking about aligning to your whole body to the ball rather than just what your feet are doing, because it's quite possible to move your feet very well, but move them into completely the wrong position. So you're still poorly aligned.
Hmm.
So you're absolutely right to bring up footwork, but it can be a bit of a misnomer. A coach can say, "Oh, move your feet," and the batsman doesn't really know what that means.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful how you present that information. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, good luck with that, Adil. Keep in touch, and we'd love to know how you get on, whether this makes a difference for you.
Yeah, get back in touch with us, Adil.
And I'll shoot on to the next question, reaching into the mailbag. Getting it out of here. This is a pretty universal question. I think this would apply no matter where you're listening to this in the world. This would apply to you. Really simple. I used to be a really good player. This is from Surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
Surgeon, didn't we all? My batting technique was good, but I was bowled for a duck in a match and I never got my confidence back. Any advice? Wow. I think that is how long is a piece of string, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the cruel listeners will be saying, suck it up, because what everyone gets out for a duck, you know, welcome to the real world.
I once opened the batting.
Yeah.
First innings, first ball, bowled with a Yorker. I then had to spend, that was my day basically over. All I had to look forward to in about 4 hours' time was fielding for 4 hours.
Yeah, it's never pleasant, but I think we have an extreme example here from Surgeon of letting the preceding innings get to you. Everyone is disappointed, and perhaps I've told this story before on the show. If I have, I'm sorry, I'm getting old now. I forget what I've already told. But I once saw a guy get out early against some very easy bowling, walked into the changing room to put my thigh pad on, and I was in there for about 3 minutes in total. And for the entire 3 minutes, he stood there with his hands on his knees. He couldn't take his pads or anything off, just had his hands on his knees, and he was staring at the bench. Didn't say a word, didn't move. and I just walked out again. So, you know, that's that is how you feel when you feel you've got out and you've got no confidence, and that you can carry that into the next game. You can carry that over a season, but you've got, at some point, you've got to man up and say to yourself, that's gone now. What do I do to get my confidence back? And there are a few things that you can do. Some people are better at this instinctively than others, and I think they make better batsmen, because if you're mentally tough, you can sort of overcome your technical issues. But if you're mentally weak, you can have the most perfect technique in the world, but, you know, because you're trying to strive for something that doesn't exist, you know, get 100 every week or whatever it is, you're setting your standards too high and you can't do it. So,
yeah, to a certain extent, this is a very extreme example of needing to take each ball on its merits, isn't it? Well, the ball that got you out for a duck last time was just the previous ball. It's got no relevance to the next ball you face.
Yeah, precisely. And there are practical things you can do to get into that state of mind. It's something that we talk about on the Pitch Vision Academy pages this week, actually, how to get yourself in the right frame of mind to look at a situation in a different way. And I would say there's a few things you can do. The first one of those is make sure that you practice hard. You don't just rock up on game day and think that you're going to do well. Get some practice in. It doesn't really matter what kind of practice that you do. The fact is that the more practice that you do, the greater confidence you're going to give to yourself. I mean, we can talk a huge amount about practice, and we have on this show before. But the key thing for me is to actually get some practice in, whether you're playing a midweek game, whether you're going down to nets, whether you're, you say to your 6-year-old son, give us a bowl in the back garden, you smash him all over the place. Do something.
I think Surgeon should also perhaps just remind himself of why he enjoys playing the game, because, you know, whether it's making a duck or this week, or maybe it's dropping a catch next week, or it could be any of the little things that go wrong in playing. That's, you know, you've got to remember why you love cricket in the first place, and little setbacks like that shouldn't stop you from enjoying the game overall.
And you can do that formally in a slightly more formal way in a couple of ways. One is that every time you play or practice, you just keep a little note of the say five things that you did really well, because nobody does everything wrong all the time. So to keep your confidence up, just every practice you go, okay, I did these are the five things that I did really well. I didn't drop a catch when we were doing slip catching. You know, just come up, just find five things, even if it's just, I was the first to put my kit away. find five things.
Yeah, or you know, I didn't make runs today, but I did my part in the field. I saved a few runs, or I took a catch, or any of those things.
You know, and it was a good ball that got me, rather than it was rather than me playing a loose shot, whatever it is. And you can extend that into keeping a diary as well, so you can track your improvements over time. So if you're training, you know, the simplest way to describe it is if you're in the gym. You know, if you're training and you increase the amount of weight that you train with, you know, that's a progression in your strength, isn't it? And the stronger you are, the harder you're going to be able to hit the ball. So there's a direct relationship there of something you can do. So keep a training diary there. And the other thing you can do is don't think about the bad things. Remember the good stuff you've done. If you've played well in the past, and it sounds like you have, then recall those, bring those back, write them down if you like. Get a book and write down your five greatest innings. You know, every time you get a 50, you know, talk me through it. Write them down. I mean, I don't know a batsman in this world that wouldn't talk someone through their innings in fine detail if given the opportunity. Yeah. So, you know, maybe you have a friend who is prepared to put up with that, or maybe you just write it down. You know, just write it down, and then when you get to a point where you're feeling low, go back to those innings and go, God, that was me who scored that 100 that time.
I can't tell you how many times Berners has talked me through his 196.
Ball by ball, I'm sure.
Ball by ball.
Exactly. And every batsman loves to do that. Every batsman loves to do that because you feel proud of yourself for that achievement. You know, you should feel proud of yourself for that achievement. Don't put the good stuff down. People naturally, I think, some more than others, but all people naturally, they remember the bad things and they take for granted the good things. So try and, as much as you can, put the bad things aside by thinking about the good things instead.
Well, good luck with that, Sergeant.
That is the end of the show for this week. So thank you very much, Richard, for filling in for Berners in the last minute.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And one of Berners' very important jobs on the podcast is to decide who wins the free online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy. And if you want to know more about those courses, you can go to pitchvision.com/academy to find out some of the luminaries who are providing some video coaching for us. So, Richard, who this week do you feel deserves the coaching course the most?
Well, one thing I can't abide is short pitch bowling not going for the pickets. So, Adil, let's get those short balls going away for runs, and hopefully a course from Pitch Vision Academy will help you on your way.
Congratulations, Adil, and if you want to submit your own question to the show, then you can do, and you can be in the running for a prize courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy. The online coaching courses are all available to anybody who wins the prize. So if somebody wanted to get in touch, how would they do that?
They would call us on 0208 816 7691, or they would use the email address mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com.
And also, we're all about the social media. I've been talking to the chap who looks after our IT this week about social media stuff. So if you're on Twitter, we're at PV Cricket Coach. And if you're on Facebook, and let's face it, who isn't, then you can do a search for Pitch Vision Academy on there and give us a thumbs up when you find the Pitch Vision Academy page. You can also submit your questions to us in that way as well. So you've got no excuse. If you're facing a problem, then the answer is just a few clicks and a couple of keystrokes away. You can also subscribe to the show in iTunes. If you open up iTunes and type in Pitch Vision Academy, it's the first and only result. You can subscribe and get the show every week without having to check back. And if you don't use iTunes, you can go to pitchvision.com/academy and find out the feed, so you can put it into whatever exciting high-tech device you've got for downloading podcasts. We have got a couple of other phone numbers available. If you are not in the UK, you can contact us via our Australia phone number or our USA phone number, and those numbers are both available in the show notes. That's all for this week, so until next week, we'll see you next time.
Bye.